Is this thing on? Do I have it plugged in correctly? Hello? 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 Episode 172?
Hold on one second.
Wyatt, recording.
Okay.
Wyatt.
Huh?
I didn't realize that, sorry. I was wondering what the SAS YouTube is.
What?
The SAS YouTube.
Totally.
What about it?
There's things happening before we get
it's
started.
Not up yet.
And it's been a while before we get things rolling. We just gotta get back into the swing of things. Hey, everyone. Episode 172 of the Blind Bargains Cast. New year, same us. Possibly new stories. We shall see.
Well, hopefully,
hey, JJ,
new stories.
How was your holidays?
Hopefully, new stories. I had a great Christmas. You know, the cool thing about Christmas is I got some new stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I think you got some stuff too. So that'll give us some content over the coming weeks.
So much stuff to talk about over the next couple episodes.
Oh. We got some interesting things around here. I have this thing here. You heard me just press this thing? Wait, does it do anything? Does it do anything? Oh, wait. Oh, gosh. Hey, Echo, stop.
It's not the Jaws theme, but pretty close.
It's Baby Shark, but it's a... I have a set of Alexa buttons.
Ooh.
We'll play with them.
These
sometime.
Are different than Dash buttons?
No, these are buttons. Yeah, these are different than Dash buttons entirely. So that's coming up at some point. I don't know. You got some stuff too, didn't you?
We do. At some point, Ricky and I will talk about Rick and Morty. And by Rick and Morty, I mean our new washer and dryer. Probably won't be this episode.
No. These are all things for later. Okay, what are we doing today? You know, we're teasing the future.
Really? We'll probably talk about that thing called CES that we've talked about before, which
I didn't
will
go this
be
year.
Interesting.
Sorry, but,
a lot of news to catch up on.
Yes.
A bunch of sound off. So there's a lot of stuff there. And then I think I'll show you how to get into your Pokeball.
What?
Your football and Pokeball.
Oh,
for
good.
The tip.
Good. We have sports covering. Yeah. We have sports covered. ATIA is coming up next week. We'll talk about that in a minute. So the conference season getting going. Before that, we should tell you this episode is sponsored by Google, who is still inviting you to sign up for their user research studies where you can get paid and you can help them do some research for Google. It's google.com/user research.
You mentioned ATIA just a moment ago. Products are starting to emerge or reveal themselves. See what I'm about to do there. As Humanware has announced a new video magnifier called the Reveal 16.
They haven't announced it yet.
Humanware is going to announce, because we found out through something else, that the Reveal 16.
Yeah, that's what that's so Humanware sent out teaser emails. And this has never happened before, right? I think I saw one with a cookie.
Yes, cookie.
Something about a cookie.
And it made me think of Limp Bizkit things.
And, no, I'm not sure if that's related to this. That could be an entirely different thing, because I
don't know how reveal works into cookie unless it's my revealing waistline from eating a bunch of cookies.
That could be it. I looked at that.
Yes.
I looked at the image, and one of them had the file name of bntplus.jpg or GIF or something. So that could be entirely unrelated to this. I don't know. That could be a new thing. That could be a blindness thing. This came about, though. It's totally posted publicly. This came about on the ATIA session list that they're going to be doing next week. So they're having a session on this reveal 16-inch video magnifier. There might be two. We're
transportable.
Transportable, foldable.
So
Sounds like a
and three different
update, right?
Brochures here. So it looks like an updated Prodigy. So it's Android. There are three different flyers that were attached to this. So each one kind of explained itself to a different audience.
Students.
So one towards seniors, one towards the classroom, and one towards general use. Looks like it has four buttons, a tablet-like interface, although it is foldable, collapsible, and an optional. I remember when this didn't used to be optional. It was kind of expected. Carrying case, and it looks like a battery. So it looks like it's a removable battery, because there's an optional battery that you can purchase, or possibly a battery pack add-on. That too is not a surprise. The idea here is that you can go up to 45x. You have distance viewing as well as close-up viewing. All the bells and whistles that you're usually used to, like programmable colors, autofocus lock. This, like you said, probably is just aging hardware and they have newer equipment, newer tablets and stuff that they could just go ahead and cram this into and release under a new form factor and probably a better optics, so probably better cameras. No idea what version of Android this is. I know over the holidays, many people were speculating about whether we would see an Android note-taker upgrade of some kind. That was a kind of conversation that came out of our year in AT coverage. And this should be kind of one of a emerging trend. I think we'll see again that 16 inches is not portable. You don't fit it in your backpack very easily. And you don't put it in your pocket.
Half, so it folds in half. Yeah, it's only 8 inches, right?
It can fold in half all at once. That means it's still bulky because now you're not necessarily tall. You're just necessarily wide.
Well, it still gives you a lot more, you know, and I'm not a low vision person, but it gives you a lot more potential capabilities. You know, the idea here, right, is to carry around one tablet that does both Google things, you know, reading books and that type of stuff, and actually can
classroom maybe
classroom stuff and doing magnifier instead of having to carry a magnifier and a laptop. You know, and the Prodigy did this as well, but this is an updated version. You know, the Prodigy came out in 2013. It's been that long. Wow.
That's hard to imagine.
Yeah, we had it.
But I'm old enough to remember the Extend Module 1, 2, and 3. So
I don't even know what that
Smart
is.
Or SmartView.
I think there's
the
8,000.
Oh, the 8,000.
I think there's two. We're not entirely sure. It looks like there's a 16 and a 16i that are separate products. And one, so probably the same hardware shell, one that runs all the Android stuff and one that's more simplified. Not entirely sure on that.
The word intuitive a lot in these press releases.
That's very intuitive.
These brochures, excuse me. Sorry. These brochures.
Well, we're going to Florida.
That will be coming out. No idea about price yet. Hopefully, maybe that's something that you will find out when you go to ATIA later this month.
Later that month. This is just in a week or so. So, yeah, that'll be, you know, we're still figuring out how we're going to set this up episode-wise, if we're going to do several or one or who knows, depending on how many interviews. ATIA is kind of a conference. We don't know what we're going to get. You know, not as much as CSUN, but there might be some things going on this year at ATIA. So, we will be down there, and if I can stay away from the pool at all and actually go into the exhibit hall for a little bit, we will try to do a little bit of coverage.
Just going to go check up on Star Wars Land over at Disney World, or maybe go check out the new Harry Potter expansion. No. I can tell you what else is going to be regular on the show. It is Survey of the Week. It has returned, the first edition of 2019. This time it's around NVDA, and what they're looking to hear is, what do you want in the next release of NVDA or future releases of NVDA?
And not even just what you want in the next release. If there's been something in NVDA that, man, it is just bugging the heck out of you, like a certain bug, or, you know, maybe it's if there's something that has just been driving you nuts, like, man, I love NVDA, but that's really what they want to know here, because they are asking
I don't have a positive outlook about
Outlook. You Thunderbird.
About Outlook Thunderbird. And NVDA.
Or OE, what was that? OE Express, not OE Express. There was that light outlook that we.
Just depends on what contract you're working. Sometimes that'll work. Sometimes you have a more negative outlook.
Why I like being self-employed. But anyway, you can go to the survey and you can fill out things. I've been submitting some things on Office 2016 as they're trying to work and improve UIA, which is awesome, which makes it more fast and snappy and things like that in Microsoft Word. But you can fill in if you're a geek and you know the issue number on GitHub, you can put that in. If you don't know what GitHub is, then don't worry about that part. That's fine.
Yeah, no, that's a bit confusing. Yes. Now, you might also want to know what is coming up for them as well. There's a new in-process blog post that kind of talks about some of the things that are going on with languages and what's going on in the new versions of Office and also the updated certification exam. So for those of you who are AT trainers out there wanting to know about some of the changes that are coming, and this happens with JAWS too, where when there's a new version, they have to update all the tests. And so if you want to be the most accurate in what you're quote-unquote certifiable in, then you need to follow up on this particular blog post, because it'll give you an idea of what's going on with
the exam. Also, an updated version of 2018.4, if you speak Aragonese.
I like your, ergonomic.
No,
that's not right.
So Aragon is in the northeastern part of Spain, in the Pyrenees, according to the blog, because I would have no idea about
No, I would have thought it was a Game of Thrones language. I would have.
They actually write more about the history of Aragon than they do about the update, but apparently there's a bug there. And if you happen to be one of those people, which
thank you, Wikipedia.
I don't think we have a lot of listeners from that area. I mean, I don't know. Hey, you know, I could be wrong.
I make no qualms or bets or any predictions in that area. People, years ago on another podcast, we actually asked people to tell us where the weirdest place they heard our podcast was. And we were very surprised to hear where our voices had carried before on miniature speakers.
I'm a little scared.
It is fascinating.
Especially now with the portable stuff that's out there. It's a little scarier. Now, one place that you might not be able to hear our podcast as easily in the future is via a Chromecast audio. I have one of these.
Sad. So sad.
A little surprising.
If you didn't already, you might want to comb eBay or Amazon looking for them. If you didn't have an Amazon, if you didn't have a Chromecast audio already, you may have to look at the Amazon products if you're looking for a 3.5 jack for your Chromecast-y needs. Because man, oh man, when these things are gone, they are gone. Of course, this is also mitigated by some of the things that have happened in the Chromecast ecosystem. So you can broadcast to other things. Like before with Google Play Music, you couldn't broadcast to, say, a television or a device that was not Chromecast audio derived.
And now you can. Jinx. Yeah,
so it's not necessarily as big a crushing blow as it might have been, say, a year ago. But if you live in the 3.5 speaker universe, or you wanted to make a dumb stereo system smart, this was a great option, especially if you lived in the Chromecast universe.
Especially for the price.
Third parties that have these options.
And even more surprising, the Google Home Mini does not have a 3.5. So on Echo, you can plug into a speaker system by going up 3.5 inch jack on an Echo Dot, or the new Dot that decided to make noise behind me. But the Google Home Mini does not have that. So, you know, a couple of things. Maybe Google's just getting rid of this. Maybe Google's going to have a new Home Mini with the 3.5 jack because they realized they messed up on that one. Or maybe it's they're really just giving up. So, at any rate.
Or throwing it to third parties, taking the Microsoft way out and saying, hey, no, if you want it, make it. We're done. We're out. We're gone.
You can get
Audi.
Yeah, you can get an HDMI to audio converter. Those are not... I mean, I suggested one, I think, when we were talking about the shields and other things a month ago, but they're like $30. So it's as much as the audio was itself. So, well, they were on sale for $15.
And a lot of new stereos come with that built in as well. So if you're looking at an AV receiver, you have that option. There are also soundbars that have Chromecasts built in. The ones from Vizio, in fact, kind of come to mind, where the step up to the soundbar that I reviewed in November/December, the step up on that actually had a Chromecast built into it for Chromecast audio. I mean, you can still project out with Bluetooth, but that's not the way that some people want to go. And it is a bit more pricier. So whenever you are looking at something that does that, it usually has a $30 to $50 to $100 step up fee attached to it.
I'm going to throw Joe off and just jump to the January Access World without a segue. And that's what I did there.
It was the first breakage of 2019.
I'm going to see how many times I can get
how
away.
How could you have time to think that up? I mean, it's like you had a Bradley timepiece in your hand
that's
something.
For the listener that wrote into the Twitter feed that said, I don't like, you guys do too many segues. Scott's in this.
There's a time and a place for everything, and in this case it would be a focus on Braille timepieces.
Oh, the Bradley. Bradley's in this. The Dot's in this. Scott wrote about the Dot watch and also about the Kindle Fire. I have a Braille Blaster thing in here. You know, there's always a lot of things in the access world that issue. I'll have my ATIA article in the February issue, which I will have to rush over to them to sneak it in time.
Super quick. Yeah.
Yes. February is the seniors issue. January is Braille. The next one in next month, February, is going to be a lot of senior type stuff. I actually put in a thing about the Echo and Google Home for seniors as well.
It's not supported on this device.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's not. Totally. Okay. I would agree. Some of the things that were not supported in previous versions but are now updated so that they do support it a lot better would be the HIMSS Q Braille XL. The latest firmware update that happened while we were gone now adds better Mac support, also one-handed mode, and a little bit more instruction that you can do with the escape key. It's very interesting. Definitely look over on the release notes page to find out more about what you can do. There's a little bit more about Windows commands and combinations as well. Positive things were said about the XL. I saw it going out to a couple of people in the international market, and some very positive things were said about HIMSS and this particular
concept. I do like the concept. If, you know, if I did more programming, I probably would have one of these in front of me. And it's a really interesting device. So, you know, we've talked about that on podcasts before. You can dig back last summer from the convention coverage and learn more about the 40SO Q Braille XL. Also, at that convention coverage, we had talk about WayAround, which was announced at the summer shows. It's getting more updates. WayAround, if you to refresh, is a tagging system using near field communication NFC tags. There is now an iOS and an Android app, and or you can use the Waylink little device that to scan these tags in conjunction with one of these phones. And we might have a review coming from you soon, right? You got one from one of those for Christmas. You
guys, Ricky, have got a starter kit for Christmas from me, as well as a Doctor Who Barbie. So she has the 13th Doctor Barbie.
Well, I look forward to the way around review.
No, you don't want to learn about the Barbie? No? Nintendo Switch.
Unless if it's a smart connected Barbie.
Well, you know, I'm afraid to look into that. There probably is one, as far as I know. There's a lot of things out there in the connected world. As when we get to CES, we'll definitely get into that. There's also a recorded webinar. So if you're not exactly sure what this is, or you want to get a better idea of what it sounds like before we get around to talking about it on the show, head on over to the link and you can check out the recorded webinar. Also, the update that just came to WayAround.
At least half a dozen tags, so that's styles, you know, ones you can put in the laundry and the freezer.
For $50, that's pretty neat. You get a sampling of the various tags, and you can decide which one is going to be right for you. Mm-hmm. And for Ricky, I thought about it with, in a lot of cases, she has a lot of power suits, and some of them are very similar.
Oh, yeah, they have buttons.
And they even feel the same as the fabric, so you could actually say which one is which without having to rely on something, you know, out there.
Yeah, we'll dig into Ira. We'll dig into it some more for sure.
Ira was also busy while we were gone. They have a new training webpage and training resources that have been posted. This is one of the things that came up during the holidays while we were gone. So head on over to that page to check out more information about what's available. A lot of people were looking for this before they onboarded, so before they went ahead and did the guest experience or they did a thing where they were having, you know, kind of sharing minutes and the like. This way they can kind of sort of get some of their questions answered or get the experience laid out to them before they actually go through the process.
There's 11 modules total. It's obviously intended for AT professionals, rehab, etc. Everything from the, they focus on the iOS app. They don't touch the Android app.
Is that update still coming?
Apparently.
I guess that update's still on there.
I don't know. I'm not a current user. Ira Access is covered. Right. Obtaining government funding is on module 10, so there you go. But also, if you want to try out Ira and you have not yet, you can get a 7-day trial for free, that was 30 minutes. So you can just kind of set that up. Now they've been email blasting people on that. And apparently also going out to people who had an IRA membership and canceled it at some point. So you can get that as well. So 7 days of free IRA, up to 30 minutes for anyone.
Valentine's Day sale. We want you back. We heart you. Come back. It's like a cable company or something.
Try it out. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, Envision AI. I've been playing with a lot and not, you know, to be honest, I started playing with it, you know, slightly before they came in and sponsored us last month. But like, man, I love how fast it is for quick text and OCR. It is. They've gotten really good at it, at least on the Android side.
A lot of people asked us on Twitter about why we were promoting Envision and was there a difference between that and seeing AI? And we were very honest. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, there is. Envision also jumped into the conversation and tossed in their feedback naturally.
Right.
So it's good to have these things out there. It is good to have competition. For Apple to be better, there must be Google and Microsoft and Amazon and vice versa. There has to be more than one thing available to us because otherwise we get into monopolies and our community has a tendency to get into monopoly thinking way too much. Like, this is the definitive way to do something. And if you don't do this, then you're not a blind person. That's bogus. That is absolutely wrong. There are all sorts of ways to do something, and it's good to have these options. So, but free trials allow you to do that, like you were saying just a moment ago. And that is a good thing that we have that opportunity. So you can listen to us all day. It still matters what you think and you playing with it, because that's what makes the world go round. Not just us sitting here and pontificating and saying, this is pretty good. No, it really does come down to every ear is different, every finger is different, and every pocketbook is different. And with that said, some people also responded to comments we had online about audio description that we had talked about during this year in AT, and that there was a trend to start doing electronic audio description. Although, again, some of the TBS audio description that's put in after a program is released, like on The Big Bang Theory, they might as well be synthesized, because some of those people sound like they don't care to do audio description. I don't know if you've ever heard. But Peter enters the room. Okay, great. Thanks. That's got a lot of emotion there. Thanks for giving. I mean, it's not a great line and you can't put a lot into it, but man, does it sound deadpan. But in 10 years, the audio description project from ACB has a bunch of information up there about what movies and television shows are available. It's a great resource. I turn to it often, especially if I'm trying to figure out an older movie, if it's been done in audio description or not, and whether I can get it on iTunes or do I have to look for it on actual disc.
They also,
in a lot of cases,
they also maintain, and I go to this a lot, a Google Doc that lists the what is described on TV for the week, you know, in time order. So you can just go there and say, if you want to see, oh, what's on right now, they do a pretty good job of updating that. So I go to that a lot, and it's relatively accurate as far as what's available. It has a lot of the stuff on it. So I go to that site
a
lot.
Great for television. That's like a series.
Cable company information. How to get it from various cable companies, how to get accessible TV boxes. So they've kind of also gone into that accessible TV bit, and they're monitoring some of the TV services and which ones are accessible, which ones, like YouTube TV, you can get an audio described track. As a, for instance, Spectrum, I believe you can on their app, you can turn it on some of the stuff on their app. So, more and more of this stuff is happening. We're not perfect yet.
You know what's really good, though? When a television series is made in the United States and then goes to Netflix internationally and it has audio description. Mm. So last year it was Star Trek Discovery, where America at CBS All Access didn't have audio description, or Doctor Who, which is on Amazon, which doesn't turn on its audio description track when it used to be on Netflix and had audio description, but when it got ported over, it did not. Right before Christmas, Titans from DC Universe, which is a live-action version of the Teen Titans, does not have audio description here in America, but when it hit international Netflix, audio description. Like this trend? This is great. Yeah. This is just wonderful. This is
you get a VPN. Is that what you're saying?
Much to go before we get this one licked, but like other things, we've gotten it done, so it'll just take a matter of time. Also, time is something we have to pay attention to when it comes to Blind Alive. We had talked about before the end of the year that Blind Alive would be shuttering its doors and going a little bit dark because of funding and other sources and other things that were going on. Well, it resurfaced right after the new year, but to keep it up and to keep those resources available to people for free, it does require donations, just like NVDA. So please remember to go over to Blind Alive and donate to the cause to keep that available, because there are a lot of people who really didn't realize how much they utilized those services or how important it was until the threat of it going away. It was like public television, as I've done many a public television fund drive. You don't know how good you got it until it's gone. And unfortunately, right now, there's a lot of federal services that are gone at the moment. So let's not lose other things out there like Blind Alive. So head on over there and donate to the cause.
Yeah, I'm definitely glad to see that's still alive. And you can go download all this, lots and dozens of workouts that you can download to do free workouts. Now free workouts, definitely go check that out. And I need to get some of them. New Year's resolutions. Oh, man. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you like it, you better go put a ring on it. Is that what you're saying?
So why did you put in? So there's every week there's a web accessibility or a lawsuit story.
Isn't there?
So why did you choose to put in Beyonce of all things?
It was a mainstream article, which I thought was interesting. Mm-hmm. And it's, if you really want to question your place within humanity, reading a comment section on any mainstream disability article.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and there's been more.
This one's no different.
Well, there's been more stories. This one, you know, this one's talking about the Beyonce.com website. It's kind of funny. We usually think of the big websites, and this one was a much smaller one. Now, more recently, in the last few days, there's been one about Domino's. And, you know,
yes.
It's one thing to say that it's a site's inaccessible. A big corporation like Domino's, or, you know, a company beyond Beyonce, Domino's specifically came out and is fighting the lawsuit. Like, why? What does that gain you for your PR? You know, like, well, we don't think we have to make our service accessible to the blind. I don't get what you accomplished by doing that. I mean, do you not want to sell pizza to blind people? Because that's kind of the impression. I mean, your pizza's bad enough.
That used to be one of the four food groups for blind people because it delivered. But
maybe they're saving blind people from the horrid pizza that is Domino's. Also won't be sponsoring us anytime soon.
Apparently not, no. Blind people like to play domino. Wait, oh, wait.
Hmm. I don't know. I don't understand it. Yeah, sure. I guess. Oh, there's a cost. Yeah, sure. And honestly, the Domino's site's actually better than it was a year ago. Domino's.
The app is, I've used a couple of times. I mean, and actually this brought up a really good conversation on Twitter and Facebook. I'm not sure about some other social medias because I don't always hang out there, but there was a lot of conversation on whether this was user error versus something being not necessarily fully accessible.
That happens sometimes. Yep, and that happens sometimes. I look at websites that are inaccessible. Man, there are some great candidates if you want to go lawsuit route. There are some really, really bad websites. And sometimes the ones that get picked aren't the ones that I would pick because maybe they're not the world's most perfect website, but they're better than some. I mean, I could easily pull out websites that are just a mess. You know, you can't, inaccessible PDFs.
You know, some people are good in their own area. Like if you surf the web primarily through iOS, you're looking at it through a very narrow filter versus somebody who does it for a living to look at it in Internet Explorer, Firefox, Safari, Edge on various screen readers. And people make declaratives about what is or is not accessible without thinking about others using other tools. This happens a lot where people throw up their hands and say, iOS, this doesn't work for me. And the Android users go, works fine for me, and vice versa. So I think this was really interesting because it was such a large name. It was a site that you wouldn't have immediately thought might have had issues. And then it really did spark a debate on where some people disparaged others for not being good screen reader users and frivolous lawsuit in some cases. I'm not saying that was the case here, but it started the conversation, which is always good for people to realize that sometimes the user experience has to go beyond yourself. You are your best arbiter at what works for you, but that doesn't mean that your opinion can generally be the same that others are having. Yep. There are always different power levels of user. And sometimes what you raise the white cane in anger about may not necessarily be something to draw a bunch of ire. It may be something that you have to turn inwardly and say, wow, I really need to get better with this NVDA in this particular browser at this particular time, because even that experience changes. It's like catching sand in a colander. Maybe this works now, but maybe in Firefox X or NVDA Y, it worked out to be better. Maybe it was a screen reader issue all along.
Sometimes it is user error. I mean, I've had a situation or three where I've written a message to someone about a thing that I thought wasn't working, and then I realized, oh, it was me. Sorry. it happens. Well, so, I mean, it's not always an accessibility issue. A lot of times it is. Most of the time it is. It isn't always. Is anything else on the bottom of that list? Because we're at 30 minutes already of news.
One of the things I thought I would throw out here real quickly is, and it goes along with this Beyonce story, is the Apple TV remote sucks. And I've got an article that pretty much agrees with me about that. So I just wanted to take an opportunity to remind everybody that the Apple TV remote sucks. And this article from Ars Technica discusses what a dumpster fire the Apple TV experience
is. I like the NVIDIA Shield remote. Too bad the NVIDIA Shield sucks for accessibility. I like the remote. You know, the little slider.
I'm going to put some links here also about Windows Weekly. There were a bunch of people who got mad at Paul Thurrott for making a comment about accessibility. It's something that's worth a look at. We're not going to go too deeply into it here. This is something that happened over the Christmas break, and some people got really upset with Paul Thurrott, forgetting also that Paul Thurrott had a deaf son, and so he knew a little bit about accessibility, but his comments were taken a little bit over things. Also, on a side note, people were taking podcast and taking snippets out of it and putting it in Dropbox to share with others. So there were two things about that real quick. One, when you do that, you're actually making life difficult for the podcaster in question, whether you do it to us, you know, Cool Blind Tech, Eyes on Success, it doesn't matter who. When you take a podcast and you put it in a Dropbox and you share it with people, you actually hurt our ability to market our podcast to people, because that's less listens that we can actually track or be able to tell sponsors or potential sponsors. So please don't do that. Stop that. Please stop doing that. Also, don't take a piece out of context. If you take a piece out of context and you say, hey, I just cut this spot right here, and this is the part that really annoyed me, it's better to give, like in one of the articles, where you need to fast forward to, because that way you give the listener the ability, A, to click on the link and that person gets to track the download on their own, but B, they get to hear that
just time code
sampling context, mm-hmm. because maybe there is a reference 2 minutes prior to where people snipped it out of that might have been very relevant, or there might be a follow-up comment 3 minutes down the road, but all they're hearing is just whatever piece was clipped out of it and dropped into Dropbox and shared, and that's just not cool. So please be kind to your creators in 2019, whether they be on YouTube, whether they be on, you know, the web doing blog posts, whether they do podcasts. Remember, it takes a lot of effort to put all this together, as evidenced by Patrick and the wonderful... Yeah, it's scary. Outtake show episode
171.
171.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy stuff. I guess I was not aware that Andre Louis helped with the kind of the musical interlude there in the middle.
Logic.
Ooh, so cool. Very, very cool stuff. Go back and listen if you haven't already. Lots of interesting stuff there. Probably should be have like a PG-13 rating, but you know. Yeah, but it's good.
But if you ever wanted those behind the scenes feelings of what is it like to do the show, or why don't they stream that live, that episode pretty much answers both your questions.
Yeah, and that's why we don't. I will convince Joe to do a live stream one day, but we're not doing it every week. Might do a one off. Might do a one off at some point in the world. It could tap. Come on,
we totally do like the CSUN wrap up show live, like we threatened.
We could do that. I need to do this live. So I need to tell everyone here that our friends at Google are working hard to create great technology products for everyone. They're inviting you to participate in Google User Research Studies, where you can help shape the future of accessible products and features and get rewarded for it. Now, here's what you need to do. Head to google.com/user research, all one word. So google.com/USERRESEARCH. They are still taking signups. I know we've had this. They've been sponsoring us for a few months. You like might think, oh, it's too late. No, they're still always looking for people. Always, they have different kinds of studies and things going on, because you know Google has dozens and dozens of products. So there's always something they're looking for. So go ahead and sign up if you haven't already, and put yourself into the pool.
Follow Google Access.
Yes,
they have a tendency to talk about what is going on there as well, and mm-hmm. what's coming up. And they'll be very busy as we enter convention season, especially for the next 6 months. I think
they might be at CSUN, right?
And they were very busy at CES. Google was everywhere at CES, whether it be in a ride that was put together, kind of had some Disney magic going on with it, or whether it was in devices of various kinds, or whether it was just roaming the crowds. Apparently, they had like little street teams going around doing stuff. Google was at CES in force. That's cool. There's also that accessibility section that's there as well. It looks like APH was interviewed by Nozilla Cast, Allison Sheridan. Got a link in the show notes to Diamond Dave being interviewed. The Human Clock. Diamond Dave, the Human Clock, from, if you remember, our game show. Dave being interviewed at APH about some of the things that were going on there. So if you want to hear what Mainstream does when they interview one of the AT...
You know, brethren. We had this discussion last year, right? I mean, they're not at CES for us, because the number of blind people at CES is in the probably double digits. And anyone who, you know, like when I went to CES, I went to APH just, I mean, I knew they weren't going to have anything new, but I know what APH does. I know what VFO does. They're there for the mainstream attention. The other accessibility products at CES sometimes get misjudged. There was a thing called the WeWalk, which I think got an award, which to us, or to me, looks like another cane replacement or something, or enhancement. Like, sure. Okay, great.
Another augmented the thing to stick on yourself and create a lightning rod.
OrCam was there. Yes. We talked plenty about OrCam on our last show before Christmas. They were showing my eye. You know, I didn't look through, I'll be honest, I haven't looked through the booth list as far as other accessibility products to see if there are anything. But a lot of times it ends up being these weird abstract, you know, concepts. How many object identifiers can you have that are really doing anything, you know? Half of them are, I mean, unless you're a Microsoft or a Google or an Amazon or, you know, or
Amazon,
right, or someone who has the capability of doing really, really deep AI, I don't think you're going very far with, you know, an object ID thing or a face ID thing. You know, you never know. Every so often something new will pop out and there'll be anything, you know. So for CES, to me, it's more the mainstream stuff. Like you said, you know, lots more things with Assistant now. So it's less and less you have to choose between Amazon Echo and Google Assistant. You can pretty much get everything with both now. Does your washer and dryer work with both? Or
yeah, the washer and dryer, when we get into it, it's a GE washer and dryer and GE 755. It's a 4.9. I learned a lot about terminology with washer and dryers while doing the research with Ricky. But it definitely does, but there are two different ways that it can work. It can work the traditional old way of talking to Google, like skills for lack of a better term, and Google Apps that you actually can enact the new way, where you just go into the works with Google part and just choose something and it works and you enable that skill. Both of those work fairly well, one better than the other. It's limited functionality. And that's what we noticed, was that some people like Whirlpool announced that they were going to have Apple Watch support. They do, to some respect, but a lot of these companies don't necessarily update their apps. And what you look for is, say, if it supports IFTTT. Because then you can do a lot more with it than just being stuck in one ecosystem. And that's kind of important. That's why I think it's interesting that Apple kind of surprised everybody by saying, you get AirPlay 2, and you get AirPlay 2, and you get AirPlay 2. So a bunch of televisions and a bunch of audio devices announced at CES that they were getting Apple AirPlay support.
And that was right after Amazon Music or Apple Music support for the Echo, which got announced shortly before CES. So,
and there were a lot of closed-minded, old-school Apple pundits who had to eat a lot of words because it was cracks in the garden wall. There were services that Apple wants to promote moving forward. And like iTunes in the old days with the iPod wasn't the iPod until it had iTunes on Windows. That's when things cracked and the iPod just exploded. And this is the same thing with Apple and a TV service or Beats. You know, when Apple took over Beats, they had a road to Android because there was a Beats Android app. And that's how Apple Music made it over to Android. And this is no different. No. They are going to put iTunes on connections with AirPlay 2 on Sony, on Samsung. Samsung, let's say that again, Samsung. They're not just making Apple's LCD screens
and OLED screens anymore. Of course, your Sonos speakers already did it too, you know, so they have the new one.
Vizio, LG, all of these sets are coming. So Apple realizes that it has to grow services business beyond its own platform. That's pretty huge. And for me, that was one of the biggest stories out of CES.
There's good connections and there's bad connections or useless connections. So you mentioned the smart speakers, and this is not new this year, but it definitely happened again this year where you have a legacy product like a washer and dryer, like a microwave or toilet seat. And like, what can we do to bring our product into the 21st century? Just picture them sitting around the marketing meeting. Well, smart speakers are big. Why don't we make our product work with, why does a toilet seat or a microwave or a toaster, some of these things, is it somehow more efficient to put your toast in the toaster and then talk to someone to get your toast going as opposed to pressing down on the lever that's right in front of you? And same thing with the Amazon Basics microwave. Like, I don't understand. You know, and maybe 10 years from now, some of this stuff will actually make sense. The washer dryer makes some sense to me because at least I can ask my assistant how much time is left or have it give me an alert. Assuming, does yours at least do that?
And a lot of those higher up washers are just big slabs of touchless buttons. Yeah.
If you can get a text with your laundry done, that's one thing. But to talk to someone to put something in a microwave, you know, like a lot of this stuff, like why?
For cognitive issues, for people with traumatic brain injury, for people who have limited mobility, for people who have an issue with reminders for short tasks, it actually does work. And I follow a couple of other things beyond blindness on Twitter. And in the case of, let's say, the smart toilet, an Alexa-enabled toilet, there are some people who might forget with short-term memory loss to flush the toilet, and they could tell the toilet to flush. Or maybe they have an aversion to things in the morning with it being a cold seat, as you and I live in colder parts of the United States. You could actually set the temperature for your toilet seat.
You don't need a smart speaker. If you forget to flush the toilet, then they should have just install an automatic flusher thing like you have in most public restrooms.
Or in a case where someone is older and they slip in the bathroom and they didn't carry an Apple Watch or an Apple phone, they could actually use the smart speaker within the toilet to call a relative. Okay,
or you could just put a smart speaker in the bathroom.
Correct. It sounds like I'm reaching, but I'm not. There are some use cases where this actually would make sense. The problem is, like in the case of the washer and dryer, we lucked out in that the cost of what we wanted versus what we were willing to pay for, the washer and dryer just so happened to have Google Assistant.
You didn't buy it for
it. So we were good. No. It just so happened that we were in the area and it was just a little bit more. And it was like, okay, this is a nice to have. It isn't a must have. In the case of the microwave, though, for people who have trouble reading complex instructions, for people who have trouble reading, say, with dyslexia, they could scan a UPC code or a barcode in, and the microwave is automatically set, and they don't have to think about it. So that actually does work for some people.
In a few years, that might work, because right now it's a very limited set of products that it supports, as far as you know, the ones you can actually scan barcodes for.
Oh, I agree. I think there's just enough to be able to stick it into a PR.
Exactly. We're not there yet. I'm not going to. Okay. Yeah. The example that I look at, I was looking at coffee pots. Like, oh, you know what? Let me look at a smart coffee pot. And I look at two or three of them. And the things that I found, that the ones that I did exist, were either A, really, really expensive, or B, brewed really bad coffee. Well, are you going to sacrifice good coffee for a smart assistant feature? No, you want the good coffee. That's the number one feature you want of a coffee pot. If it can't make you a good cup of coffee, then who cares about the rest? So you're sacrificing.
And if it's a situation where you just need it to turn on, you can get a Waymo smart plug or another smart plug and just tell that to turn on on the coffee pot to brew you coffee. I agree. It is a situation where you have to do your research, and it sounds really cool, but in some cases it's like the app for these washers and dryers is very minimal and not a lot was put into it. So for us to be able to know what, if we forgot, we didn't count the right way because we don't know these washers and dryers yet and have them memorized, just being able to ask the assistant what mode it's on is awesome. You know, it's the same way as having a talking thermostat with Nest. Is it something that is life-changing? No, but it's a great convenience to be able to set it or check it or raise or lower it through voice assistant. That is just super awesome. If I was already in the market anyway, then I'm going to think about it. Will I go out and purchase a shower head, which came down in price, Jay, the shower head from last year?
It's Moen, a little cheaper. Not Mo. Yeah, we covered this on a last word before. The smart shower, which now you can bring Siri into your shower or Google into your shower. And
we were saying before the show started, set it to 98 degrees. Now playing 98 degrees. No, that isn't what I said. Stop.
Could be a problem. Pet dryer or pet sauna. I'm just looking at some of the links here, the weird stuff that is that Pee-Pee's pet? I hope that's Peppy's pet dryer.
I hope so. It would certainly make marketing a lot easier.
Trying off a wet dog can be a chore.
But a pet dryer, there are a lot of animal tech this year.
Oh yeah. And new smart feeders and smart litter box cleaners. And some of this stuff we see this stuff
I don't know that I need
this
that.
This stuff's been around for a couple of years.
And we have enough trouble with our cat box that's quote unquote smart in that it's supposed to, you know, do its business after the cat does its business. So I don't know
what I want? It's been updated. It actually works now. Or apparently it works a lot better than it's been here for a couple of years. The Foldymate. The Foldymate's the laundry folding robot. Machine. It's been around for a couple of years, but didn't really do so well before. Apparently, it's doing pretty well this year. So you can, obviously it's more intended for a laundromat or someone who wants, or a dry cleaner type place. But hey, I'll take one of these. You fold my laundry.
There were a lot of sound bars too. And one of the things that I thought was fascinating was, you know, getting back to what I was talking about with Dolby Atmos, where you have speakers in the ceiling or you reflect sound off the ceiling for elevated sound in a sound field. Vizio introduced a sound bar with speakers that would actually rotate upwards to project sound off the ceiling and then rotate back into place if you were listening to stereo music, which I thought was pretty neat. It was a concept. I don't think that it's going to come into production this year, but I like the idea that you could have a stereo system or a sound bar that would be better for theater when you need it and then music when you need that too. Because usually you have to choose, you have to decide which one you want to go for. Do I want it to be more music or more movie oriented? There were also a couple of things that were not necessarily blindness related, like 218-inch screens. Like, there was the wall television that Samsung had done. They had finally gotten those interlocking panels to work seamlessly, so that way
and they then the a bunch rollable of one
tiles that turned into one giant television.
Was it LG that had the rollable television?
Yeah, the roll-up one. We've seen that a couple of times, but it looked like this one was getting really close to being actually purchasable. There was also some car tech there, so we had more in the autonomous vehicle kind of way. And a lot of people were finding out about these electric scooters that can actually have a go-home feature. So if you were, say, walking in Austin and the scooter ran over your foot and you wanted to yell at the person driving it, it might not be a person driving it. It could be autonomous and going back to the charging station. There's a lot of stuff happening in this area, and it's something we'll have to look out for in some major cities, that we have these little electric scooters that are starting to take up the place where we walk, doggone it. So other than that, really not much. We didn't want to devote a whole giant segment to it.
I don't feel like I missed a lot by not going this year. And I went last year. I kind of like doing this every other year at the most. I'm not even sure if I'll go next year. We'll see. But, you know, it's kind of interesting. You know, you can go every so often. You can see trends, you know, sometimes you see products, but some things get announced. I'd say half the stuff that gets announced never gets released. Some of it, you know, will get released later on in the year. And then every so often something will be coming out right now. So obviously we'll keep following things. And if cool stuff comes out, we'll definitely let you know about it here on the BBQ. But first, what?
So we got a tip.
Yeah. Are you recording that later?
And
are you recording that now?
Yeah. I'm going to record that out of loop.
Oh, you're recording that later. So we're going to go to the tip that was recorded later now.
I mentioned earlier in the show that there were a couple of things I found during the holidays that you can do with Google Home, but you can also do these with the Amazon Echo as well. All you have to do is go and enable their skills. In this case, let's try, hey Google, talk to Pikachu.
Pika! Pikachu!
Good morning. Pikachu is still sleeping. Lightning attack.
Pikachu! Pika Pika?
Get in your ball.
Pika! Pika! Pika Pika.
Are you hungry?
Pika Pika!
Squirtle.
Pika Pika!
Yeah, that's kind of the same. So there are things you could do to talk to Pikachu, and that'll stay up until you tell Pika to go away.
Pika?
Exit.
Pika! Pika! Pika!
Okay, so that one isn't super useful, but very fun and very annoying to others around you. Worth a bit of time. Also, remember, you have to turn it off because it'll just stay active otherwise. It will eventually go to sleep, but it takes a really long time for that to happen. Now, let's do something that's a little bit more in line with the show, shall we? Hey, Google, talk to old-timey radio.
All right, here's old-timey radio.
Greetings, welcome to Old Time Radio, where you can listen to your favorite radio shows from the first half of the 20th century. Which show would you like to listen to? The Shadow, Gunsmoke, or Dragnet?
The Shadow.
Playing The Shadow.
Who knows what evil worst of men, the Shadow Gnome.
Hey, Google. Stop. So there are both two free things that you can just play around with if you've got a new Google Home or a new Amazon Echo lying around. Just something you can play around with. Also, it's going to be something that we look at in 2019 is more skills and more fun free things that you can do on your devices. If you have suggestions, send them on into feedback. And if you record something yourself, let us know. Also, send those links on to feedback. Easiest way to do that is throw it into Dropbox and send us a Dropbox link to feedback@blindbargains.com.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback@blindbargains.com or tweet us at Blind Bargains.
Sound off this week. Lots of emails that came in over the break and the holidays. Thank you to everyone who's written us. Starting with Jim Denham with an important question. Remember Dial a Carol? We were talking about Weird Al and the night Santa went crazy.
Wham!
That was great. I loved it. We might have to make that an annual tradition here. Apparently, there's two versions of the Weird Al hit, The Night Santa Went Crazy. One that's a little more violent.
I did not know.
And the one that's a little less violent. I run a Christmas radio station every year. Some of you might know. I don't know which one I'm playing. I have to go back and check.
Yeah.
So I did one, he just goes that. To prison, and one, he just gets shot and... Obviously, so there must have been some radio stations.
Oh, they're very happy, festive.
Yeah,
songs,
there must have been some.
If you think about it.
There used to be another Weird Al. It's Christmas at Ground Zero.
Christmas at Ground
that
Zero.
That one kind of, is, especially after the 9/11, it's like okay, we don't. You know, doesn't you don't?
Yeah, let's not play that one right. Too much. Yeah, that would. Yeah, I have that one somewhere buried in my Christmas archive. Lydia Alberson wrote in and said that she really enjoyed the Outtake show. I'm glad that you did. It's a labor of love for Patrick. It's easy for us to make the mistakes. It's a Herculean effort for him to cultivate them all and make them sound like a show. And if you want a little behind the scenes bit, he actually does produce them in show format. So introductions happen in the introduction area. All the tips, mistakes happen in the tips area. He actually tries to emulate the show for
Yeah, this kind of go in order.
He puts those out there.
Juana Vila has a question I think you can answer. Talking about an app that you can listen to movies, describe movies from your phone.
That was ActiveView.
Yes.
And we're hoping to get them on sometime around Oscars time.
Yes.
The Oscars were just
depending on which movies they decide to have described in the near future. So we'll see what happens there.
So a couple of those, actually. I think The Favorite and I know Black Panther and several of those are available in audio description. A good way to keep up with that is if you have an Apple TV or if you have an iDevice, keep an eye on when Apple does their Oscars picks because they'll put the accessibility tags there. And remember also, if you want, a lot of these films will go on sale in other places like Vudu, Amazon, Google Play, Microsoft on Microsoft Movies and TV, believe it or not, through your Windows browser. And you can connect that to Movies Anywhere. And what that does is allows you to be able to purchase it in one place, but then populate it in, say, iTunes, Amazon, Google, wherever you have it connected. So I actually get a lot of movies cheaper if I wait for them to go on sale on another service, then listen to them with audio description through iTunes. So it's actually kind of cool. But ActiveView is the app that you're thinking about. Remember that there is theater support and then at-home video release support,
right.
And the two don't always match up.
Mary writes in talking about the ECG support on the Apple Watch, diagnosing atrial fibrillation. I can never say that. Am I saying that right?
That word, yeah, totally.
Right.
AFib.
AFib. Thank you. It's called AFib. So the support is not meant to help you after you've been diagnosed. In fact, she's like, I had to lie because she has that. And, you know, what do I do now? Because the app is meant to diagnose it or letting someone know if they have it. But and then it's kind of like, well, what's the point if I already have it? What's it supposed to do for now? So see, that's the last time I'll upgrade.
Any measuring tool.
Yeah. This is the last time I'll upgrade a perfectly fine
like
Apple product
tool.
Just for a feature.
Well, the Apple Watch Series 4 is lighter. It is better speaker. There are
trying to make her feel good about her upgrade.
I'm sorry if
you know. Well, right, and sometimes.
And to be fair, Apple has to be careful what they say and how they say because there's a difference between a medical grade device and a Swiss Army knife that's sold to the general.
Look,
public.
I've been burned a lot on day one upgrades. You know, and I know a lot of times now I still consider myself an early adopter with things. But sometimes when the next version comes out or something and you hear this crazy awesome feature that you want to use, you know, it doesn't hurt to wait.
Like Face ID.
Yeah. You know, it doesn't hurt to wait a week or two after it's out to the public. Sorry. And then there's lots of reviews out there that you can figure out, because there'll be a lot more reviews that get posted once it is in people's hands. And then you can see, okay, is this feature really acting the way that it was advertised in the PR, instead of having to, you know, of course, I mean, you could buy it and return it too. That's another option, but that's, you know, it's unfortunate when something doesn't work out.
You also have an outlet to shake that other device off, like selling it here on Blind Bargains, or doing the pass me down, handing that older device back to somebody. Or if you like the older device, you could turn around and say, hey, how'd you like to have the new one? Because I kind of want to have the old one back, you know, that kind of thing. So having it within your inner circle matters. In Ricky and I's case, we had a sweet deal with Apple. We were at the Apple store. Our watches were in good condition. They offered an amazing trade-in policy. You know, it was like, how could I not? Because, you know, the minute we touched them, it felt really good and they were lighter and it just, yeah, this works out really, really well. You know, but I agree with you. But at the same time, when Apple starts anything, the AirPod, the HomePod, whatever, you always are kind of a paid beta tester. That's kind of the way they approach it. And some things get better over time. Other things become the Apple TV remote that I talked about earlier, or the butterfly keyboard, or the touch bar. Those are all things that Apple has not done extremely well. And those things are starting to happen more often than they used to. So you really do have to not give Apple a pass anymore. You have to give Apple a little bit of consideration rather than just shut up and take my money, which is an old Futurama joke about the iPhone. So that's something that we all have to do. It used to be that you could trust a brand and just go ahead and not even think about it. And that is not the case anymore in this particular case, especially when their prices keep going up and everybody else's keep going down. So yeah, that is a very interesting thing to consider. One of the things to consider also is that things were different in the 90s. You know, there might be a museum.
Do you know how old that makes you sound? The 90s.
not as old as you're going to hear in this clip.
Students. Okay, come on in, guys. Mason, phone away, please. Prepare to travel back in time to an ancient, archaic age when people had to struggle to survive.
Whatever.
Mason.
The 90s weren't even that long ago. This is lame.
I see. The young man is a skeptic. Well, to you, I give our most damning castigation.
Loser says, whatever.
What are you doing?
Be chill, young homie. I'm merely clowning on you. For your good sportsmanship, I shall give you a rare and treasured prize. Booyah! It's a laser disc. But be very careful not to scratch it, for soon I must return it to Blockbuster. Yoink!
Step back! For there's to be a duel. Two families at odds. The Backstreet Boys versus NSYNC. They fight to the death. History's never seen a battle for dominance so bitter.
Well, how would they ever settle it?
TRL.
And there are sacrifices on both sides. For each day, we must watch it live as it airs.
Wait, did you live through the 90s?
Let's bounce, we outie.
love that line about Laserdisc and Blockbuster. I after showing this clip to my family, I then had to admit that I did rent Laserdiscs from Blockbuster on Westheimer and Chimney Rock over in the Galleria area. It was a great store.
What's a Blockbuster?
Yeah. What was it? Somebody tweeted the other day.
Apparently,
I retweeted
we saw a family
it.
Family video.
They needed to show ID, and the waitress goes, no, I see by the Blockbuster video card your wallet, you're old. You're good. That's totally fine. You're good. College Humor's been putting out some great stuff. Also, that's they have a great one also about, what was it? A real life, Mary Poppins in modern day. And it was a millennial joke.
And it's only been 20 years. The end of the 90s is only 19 years ago. So, wow.
Dude, things have moved. It has been weird because The Matrix turned 20 this year. There's a couple other great films that turned 20 this year. Blade Runner is supposed to have taken place in 2019. There are actually a lot of science fiction
You're older than me.
Pieces.
You're older than me. Did did we move fast from 1980 to 1981 to 2000 compared to from 2000 to 2019? I would assume
we've moved films in 1980.
But I would assume we've moved faster in the past 19 years than we did in the 19 years before that.
You know, we had a conversation with our teenager recently about, we just finished Steven Universe, and we had to remind him that it was a story that, you know, we had watched over 4 or 5 years and how that worked. And it was hard for him to conceptualize that because of the age of binge watching, where it's just like, I watched all 13 in one day, you know, and I consumed a thing. And so much of the video and audio that he consumes is very clip driven. And it blows my mind because, again, we're getting back to context at the beginning of the show. I can't imagine seeing a famous scene out of context, like the end of Planet of the Apes, you know, or some of the reveal with the pod bay doors in 2001. Those are monumental scenes and you build up to it. At the same time, there were people who were arguing that you couldn't listen to a concept record like Pink Floyd's The Wall unless you started from song one and listened all the way to the end. And I was like, no, that doesn't work for me. If I want to hear Comfortably Numb, I'll listen to Comfortably Numb. So I guess some of it is your perspective and your format, but I would say that things do move faster because in my head, you could mathematically say, if I write this check, Jay, I know it'll be like 2 weeks before it clears the bank. So I'm good, right? I can totally ride this out. Instantaneous money transfers today. That's just one example of
good
how
and bad.
Things have moved.
You can make that work to your advantage. Or you can make that work to your disadvantages.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about perspective. Hey, speaking of perspective, this was, we have a few sports fans out there. There was a bit of a blown call in the NFC Championship game.
Just a tad.
Well, an eye business in Covington, Louisiana. So the New Orleans Saints lost, many would say, because of a blown pass interference call that the refs missed. So a business in Covington, Louisiana, offering free exams for NFL refs.
I would agree wholeheartedly. It was it was quite obvious. You know, when you have three commentators all agree within like a second of the call being missed
on the were you on the
missed call.
Were you on the TV broadcast?
I was on the TV broadcast.
Because I was on the radio and I was on the Westwood One, and they were in the, you know, the same exact reaction right away. It wasn't just later on, you know. And this joke has come up before, but it's still funny. But I mean, it's not funny. Not
really
funny
tough
for Owens
as
fans.
Someone who's from New Orleans. This was really tough because it decided the game. Very
and
few times
they got
have
screwed last year
completely
out of it,
decided,
you know,
the game.
I mean, they've had some hard luck. So there you go. Strangely, another doctor in Texas is also offering. I'm not sure why Texas even cares, but, you know, I guess they're just, they feel the pain.
There's a lot of people who moved to Texas. I moved to Texas. I'm originally from New Orleans, but grew up in Houston. So I can see it. There's a lot of good gumbo and crawfish. I wouldn't go to Galveston's Mardi Gras because that's not, it's not
if
really
I were a ref,
United
I'd take
States
up on
Mardi
this
Gras.
Offer. Why not? You know, hey, it's free. Just
absolutely. It certainly couldn't hurt, but I can feel very, very secure in the fact that that ref will not call a game of that caliber ever again in the NFL. That will not be a thing that will happen twice. I have no desire to watch the Super Bowl this year. I have no dog in this hunt.
Whatever. Watch Brady, you will get a 75th chance. Whatever. It'll be fine.
I don't want to see him in his big coat anymore. Done with the big coat Tom Brady means.
It'll be just fine.
No, it will not. I don't want to put up
with. Well,
do you ever see the clip of Family Guy with Bill Belichick and his son?
No.
I'll have to put that link in there. It's a emotionless Bill Belichick. And he's like, who's flying? Me, Daddy. Me. Me. Me.
Okay, shh, here he comes.
Hiya, Mr. Belichick.
Who the hell are you? What do you want?
We are here to make you smile. And if there's one thing that always gets me to smile, it's a child's laughter. So I found this kid in the parking lot, and I'm gonna make him laugh for you. Come on, laugh. Would you, Bubba? Would you?
Don't touch my son's face. Get over here, little man. This flight is cleared for liftoff. Vroom. Liftoff.
We.
Who's flying?
We.
You're flying.
Again.
Who's daddy's little jet?
I love you, daddy.
But yes, very much emotionless Bill Belichick memes.
Well, that's going to do it, folks. Hey, that's our last show of the year. Oh, no. Not yet. No.
It went as long as the entire year. Episode 172 in the books. That's right. That's it. That's why I clarified
next
week.
Next week is a wait and see situation. I will be in Washington, D.C., and then Florida for Washington Seminar, and then ATIA. So we're going to wait and see whether we're just going to go straight to ATIA coverage or we're going to put something in between. We might do some reviews. Like I kind of teased the end of last year, we might not do news shows every week because a lot of times we were kind of struggling to find enough news to do a news show anyway. So just get used to each week being a little bit different. So there'll be a little bit for everyone. Some will be longer, some will be shorter, some will be news, some will be reviews, some will be, I don't know, just 60 minutes of me saying P words.
Yeah. And we appreciate people's comments back to that on Twitter and other places. The show has to evolve, mainly because the AT industry is actually kind of condensing itself. So therefore, there are fewer players doing fewer things. And so we have to pay attention to that as well as finding meaningful content that we think you would want to listen to. So there's a little bit of evolvement with the show. It's not that we're abandoning anything. It's just that if there's not enough content out there, then we have to generate more content. And that's a whole different mindset to just give you commentary about news that we find. That's some would say easy for us, but to actually generate meaningful content, that takes a little bit more time and effort. And so just bear with us as we're starting to go through that, because it will change, because, you know, you got ATIA, stuff will come out of that, and then we got CSUN, and of course, then we'll turn the corner, start thinking about Google I.O. Microsoft Build was announced while we were gone, and then we have that thing convention.
Not at all ready for that yet, so don't rush at that. I think
but 6 months down the line.
We do appreciate you listening. Be sure to subscribe and like us on iTunes and Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you have us as a podcast app. We do appreciate it. Yeah. That's always helpful as well. You can email us feedback at blindbargains.com. You can tweet us at blindbargains on Twitter, or you can comment on the show post for 172.
Exactly. And I don't mean to place this at the end. I meant it to put it at the beginning, but my condolences to Brad Hodges and his family. Brad passed away. Yeah. Many of you who may have gone to NFB Computer Science or been a part of ACB groups may know Brad. He was very vocal in our community. He also worked over with Access World. Brad was a good person to talk to. I'd known him for years, would have long conversations with Brad about emerging trends in technology, and I was sad to hear of his passing just recently. So my thoughts go out to those who know Brad. Yeah, very, very much so. So definitely my condolences about Brad. He will be missed. One of our first mentions of that this year. So definitely, if you want to hear more about things that are involving science fiction, and I'm talking a little bit more about games because I got something to talk about soon in regards to that, follow me over at Ranger Station, all one word. That is twitter.com/RangerStation.
And once again, thank you to Google for sponsoring us this week. Google.com/user research. Go sign up if you have not already for Google's user research studies, and you can perhaps get rewarded for that as well. Thank you so much to Google for sponsoring us this week. And thanks, Patrick Perdue. Hope you're feeling better. And thanks, of course, for the outtakes and everything. And we do appreciate everything that you do for us as well. As we move into 2019.
Oh, 19.
Yeah.
What was that song? 19? 19. 19. And then 19.
Right. 19. I was playing that song for some people, and then everyone gave me a blank. What the heck is this? That was from 1985.
That's like handing somebody "We Didn't Start the Fire" lyrics and asking them to say, which ones do you know?
Wheel of Fortune might be the only thing. Wheel of Fortune might be the only thing in there they recognize. And that's so JFK.
True.
And that's about it.
That's true. Well, everybody, that's going to do it for us. We thank you for joining us, and we will see what happens on episode 172 and beyond very shortly. Have a great week.
I say this is 172. I think we know what happens on 172. Oh. But we'll see what happens on 173.
173.
Yes.
No, actually, I'm not completely sure what's going to happen on 172. I still got to do the tip.
No, we'll find out later. So, see ya.
So, technically, I was correct in my syntax.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Bye.
Yeah, sure. Bye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2019.